We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number 3. And for those of you asking, Tara will be here tomorrow, right? Right, Ghost Rider? So Tara will be back tomorrow. Ingalls Advantage talk line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. El Presidente.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, my history is lacking here. How many times has Israel had to face the Arab world in combat?
Pretty much every day.
Every day.
Actually.
Okay.
But if you're talking about the organized armies of it was 1967 Six-Day War, wasn't
right,
it? Is that
right.
The Six-Day War? And then there was 74, I believe.
So more than once they have been challenged.
Oh, yes.
Their very existence has been challenged just because they exist, right?
Yes.
So is it fair for us, and I think it is, but is it fair for us to look at them as a nation and say that they probably don't trust a whole lot of the motivations that might come out of the Arab / Islamic world?
Very true, yeah.
Okay. So this thing right now with Tlaib and Omar, I mean, they're from the Democratic Party. They get out there and they talk all the time about racism and all this other stuff. And at the same time, and there's a point to this. They're also the party of transgenderism, where for some reason you can wake up and be whatever you want to be if you decide to go under the transgender thing. So if you're transgender, why do we have to just limit that to gender? Why can't you and I be 25 years old again?
Yes.
Why can't we be Arabs if we want to be?
Yeah, right.
Why can't we be what? So that whole idea where they're out there calling everybody a racist while at the same time they claim transgenderism exists is sort of a clash for me. But, I mean, those two ladies, I don't know if you know this, they're very, very heavily aligned with something called the Mitfa. Are you aware of that?
Yes, yes.
The Yasser Arafat splinter group there.
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth would any nation state like Israel let them in for any reason?
Yeah, and that's the whole, that's part of what's going on here with the whole situation. This is nothing but a publicity stunt. Rashida Tlaib is playing on the emotions of visiting her grandmother. She had the opportunity to do that and turned it down. So
sure.
If she was really and if she was really longing to see her grandmother, she could have done that. This ridiculous comment that the Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is making about how Netanyahu and Trump are trying to hide the oppression of the Palestinian people. They're not hiding anything. The Israeli Defense Force is defending the Israeli people in the nation of Israel. And I'm one of those who gets worked up about. I'm not saying that Israel can do no wrong. I'm not one of those. But it is ridiculous to, if you really pay attention to what's going on in the Middle East and what's going on with international media and the American media, what will happen is that the Palestinians will lob rockets and mortars at the Israeli people within the Israel from Gaza or from the Golan Heights or from wherever they choose to launch their attacks. They will do terrorist attacks. They will knife people. They will run people over. They will do all these things, which are ignored for the large part by the American and international media. And then when the Israeli Defense Force has an area that they have targeted because that's where the missiles and rockets are coming from, and then they call the people up and say, you better get your civilians out because we're getting ready to hit you. And then they launch missiles in there and then they wind up taking out the threat and then possibly some collateral damage as well. Then it is Israel that is committing the great crime. And I'm really just fed up with the whole thing about how Israel is treated on this. They act to defend themselves and yet they are attacked for attacking their attackers.
Well, I mean, their reality is this. Everybody in Israel has to serve in the military, male or female.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when they're not on duty, like if they get a chance to go to the beach,
mm-hmm.
you'll see these IDF members walking onto the beach in their bathing suit with their rifles slung.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the reality of it, because they have no green zone.
No, no.
Anywhere.
Israel is a tiny nation that is surrounded by enemies. And we're the current state of where we are has really been helped by like Saudi Arabia and Egypt and their behavior and their attitude toward Israel, because they hate Iran. At least the Saudi Arabians certainly hate Iran.
Sure.
And because of the religious differences between the Shia and the Sunni there, between, you know, Saudi Arabia and Iran. And that hatred there has sort of helped in the situation there, because otherwise you would have Israel surrounded by pretty much Iranian states, Iranian supporting states. But luckily that we're at a point politically where that's not the case anymore. And the Muslim Brotherhood leadership was, you know, taken out in Egypt, and more Western-leaning dictators have arisen. But, you know, hey, there are dictators.
Well, that whole supposition where they're out there trying to play this. And the ploy has sort of fallen through, and they are doubling down on their position. Everybody's out there saying, you know, You got the waiver to go see your grandma,
yeah,
but you decided not to do
right.
that now.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't have it on your terms. Who do they think they are?
Well, they think that they are privileged, and that they think that they are oppressed. And I'm not so sure that they actually think that, but they're wanting to use this as an opportunity to sway votes.
Well,
and that's all this is. This is about beating Trump.
They're out there right now. You know, they're out there saying, we are duly elected members of American Congress, and we're not allowed to go there, except the American Congress went there, what?
Yeah.
A whole big little gaggle of them went
numerous
out.
70 delegations.
70 of them. And at the same time, when they're here, they're trashing America.
Yeah. But any sovereign nation has the right to look at another citizen of another nation, whether they are elected official or not. And if you are in an organized effort to boycott and to try to wipe out that nation, they have every right to say, no, I'm not going to let you come in here and trash us.
Sure.
No.
Any
sovereign nation has that right.
Well, because I don't know. But is there a nationality of Palestine?
There is no nation of Palestine.
It's a name.
Yes. There is no nation of Palestine.
And for some reason that name and that group of settlers in one place, they're supposed to have just be given Israel.
To the best of my recall of the history of that, the UN in 1947 had an opportunity for there to be a nation of Palestine and a nation of Israel. And the Arabs in the region nixed it.
You want to know the craziest thing about being on the left is that Jewish people make up 2.5% of America.
Mm-hmm.
10% of the Senate is Jewish and 7% of the House is Jewish, and they won't say anything about this.
Yeah.
I'll
be honest with you. I have no idea how it is that for some reason most of the Jews tend to be many Jews tend to be supporters of the Democrat Party.
I don't get it.
And when you look at the Democrat Party and how they align themselves with Palestinian terrorists that are attacking the nation of Israel at every opportunity, both verbally and physically and militarily, I don't get it. Do not get it. And also, just one quick little thing.
Sure.
The lunacy of calling for a boycott of Israel but then wanting to go there. Hello? What? I don't get that.
You know, Spock could not exist in this world. He has to be on the Star Trek.
No.
He has to be in the Starship Enterprise.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the text line, Bill, the people on the left in this nation are operating on the premise that they will be eaten last by Islam. Anybody on the left is operating on a premise that they're going to be above the fray. That's the problem. And that's that's just not going to be that way. There's the elite, and there's people that serve the elite, and then there's the people the elite want to subjugate. Which, if they subjugate us, then once they're done with us, then the people that serve the elite, they'll be consumed, and then there will just be the elite. I don't know what happens then. I don't know if that becomes a last rat standing sort of thing or not. Back to Antifa. They come in and out of the news, despite the fact that the left is unable to denounce this militant band of thugs. The left cannot denounce Antifa because Antifa embodies the very ethos of war and violence that collectivism needs to thrive on. So if they go after Antifa, that would be to attack the heart of the cancerous poison that is destroying liberty-oriented societies. A guy named Michael Oakeshott was one of the preeminent English-speaking conservative philosophers and writers of the last century. He wrote something called The Political Economy of Freedom, and it was published in 1949 in the aftermath of the Second World War. Talking about the rise of the bureaucratic welfare state and the dawn of the Cold War. He offers cold insight into the reality of our newly venerated New Deal at the time, and Franklin Roosevelt and Clement Attlee and the welfare architects who shackled the free society. The aim of collectivists, and I don't know if this is a feature or a bug, but their aim in a free society is not to wage a bloody revolution like the Jacobins or the Bolsheviks. Oakeshott saw that the modern advocates of collectivism disintegrate the integral and wholesome reality of liberty. We are instructed by the enemies of freedom masquerading as advocates of freedom to distinguish between positive and negative freedom, between the old and the new freedom, between social, political, civil, economic, and personal freedom. By focusing on only one or two freedoms, we are distracted as we lose our other freedoms. So in other words, that was identity politics of the time. They just attached it to various philosophies, if you will. So, according to Oakeshott, the liberal collectivists pose as champions of one type of distinguished freedom while they erode and destroy all the other types of freedom. So right now they're the champions of transgenderism and making sure Islam does not get talked about meanly. But on the other hand, they're trying to destroy everything else about it. When they get out there and subjugate us to these whims of saying, you will do this and you will not do that, well, they're destroying freedom, right? They're destroying our freedom. So they do not see freedom as interconnected or wholesome or organic. And that's true of any living thing. Organically, we seek the sun. We seek freedom. We seek freedom of movement. We seek freedom of thought. That's just something that's built into us. And the new collectivists see institutions as oppressive, and society today is backward and tyrannical. And the new leftist, who is a Bolshevik in all but name, therefore puts himself out there as a champion of engineered liberty, which is to say that they control what freedoms of population will be allowed to have. This is why the Constitution and gun ownership is a big problem for them, because they can't roll up on us as we're an armed society and say, listen, all of these things you thought were true are not, and we will tell you what is true and you will comply. They can't have it. They can't. We're not going to allow that. So collectivism thrives on war. It needs war. Collectivism demands the mobilization of people to force us into their aim. So it's necessary for collectivists to always have an existential threat that allows for the purpose, you know, this constantly going on, constantly happening, mobilized society. Oakeshott said the real spring of collectivism is not a love of liberty, but war. The anticipation of war is the great incentive, and the conduct of war is the great collectivizing process. Lincoln collectivized the Union during the Civil War. Roosevelt collectivized the new nation during the war on the Great Depression, which was superseded by the Second World War. Roosevelt was not among the greatest presidents. He was actually one of our most destructive. He subjugated civil society to the bureaucratic state, and he thrust our economy into a perpetual war economy existence. If there is no war for the post-Roosevelt economy, the economy will decentralize back into the hands of those who took it from under the guise of national emergency. And otherwise, it'll be privatized again. This is unacceptable to the collectivists. This is why Barack Obama would tell people, you didn't build that. That was Barack Obama's version of the post-Roosevelt economy. We're told that the economy will collapse into chaos if we decentralize it. And that's a trick that they use to employ, and this masks their intention. They claim to be for peace, but they're not for peace. They need war. And beyond their insurmountable evidence that this is the case, the mere fact that Antifa exists to counter an imaginary existential threat should give away their true bloodthirsty and violent purpose of being. They're not libertarian. They're not organic. They are a socially engineered monster meant to act as a shock troop of the final collectivist campaign for the domination of what used to be a free society here in America. And they exist, as they do in Portland, above the law. Without the law to keep the peace, we're in the state of war, which allows for collectivism to present itself as the new agent of order while imposing tyranny from above. Cloward and Piven. Cloward and Piven. Because the Democratic Party's been controlled by collectivists ever since FDR, they'll never be able to condemn Antifa. Because they would be condemning their own philosophy of warring domination. And do you remember this phrase? That domination was always meant to fundamentally transform the United States. So this idea of fundamentally transforming us is not a new one. It's a deeply rooted one. Now, Antifa is a recent manifestation of collectivism. And, you know, we're told, like, for example, there's a war on women. We're told there's a war against minorities. We're told there's a war on gay people, lesbians, and the rest of the imaginary rainbow. We're told there's a war on poor people. We're told there's a war on decency and civility. There's a war on everything, according to the left. And they use this as a prop to front themselves as the champions of the new freedom, which is, in reality, a front for a further collectivist control. Cloward and Piven, if you will. You know, I don't know why we have to have these big conversations about renewable energy. We already have renewable energy. And if the official definition of renewable energy were logical, renewable energy would be defined as energy that does not emit CO2 and that is not using a resource in danger of running out anytime soon. Not that CO2 is bad. CO2 is actually pretty good, but that's the logical definition. But the definitions that's written into law in many states becomes illogical, as Spock would say. Hydroelectric energy, which is requires no fuel and is always happening, and it happens 24 hours a day when they set up everything. Just go check out Hoover Dam in Nevada, find out what I'm talking about. That's banned because the environmental movement hates dams. Nuclear energy is banned because of a hysterical fear of nuclear energy, which was created by environmental groups. Nuclear power plants can become dangerous if you don't constantly update them, of course, but we haven't built a nuclear power plant since the 70s because of these environmental groups. Both nuclear and hydroelectric do not emit CO2. Hydro doesn't need fuel. Nuclear fuel is cheap. There's a large number of prominent global warming activists like James Hansen, Michael Schellenberger, and Stuart Brand, who have declared that nuclear is the only solution for the crisis that they imagine is approaching. Now, for those of us who don't take a global warming seriously, like me, there's nothing wrong with using coal and natural gas to generate electricity. Most of you people that are driving Teslas, which I admit I thought about a Tesla, I think a Tesla is a sort of a cool car until you get out there and realize that, like, when I'm taking a trip, if I'm in a gas-powered car, I pull into a gas station, I fill up the tank of gas, that takes however long it takes for the gas to pump, and I'm on my way. If I run my Tesla for X amount of time, then I have to pull into a charging station, back up to the charging station, punch it in, plug it up, and then I've got to sit there and wait for however many hours it takes to charge. This is not something that's quick. So it's not exactly convenient. The CO2 that is emitted by coal and natural gas helps plants to grow better with less water, thus helping agriculture. But there's 30 states here that mandate renewable energy, and the only scalable forms of renewable energy allowed are wind and solar. California mandates that 60% of their electricity comes from renewable energy by 2030. Nevada mandates 50% by 2030. There are other types of official renewable energy, but they can't be easily scaled up, like geothermal or wave and garbage dump methane. So wind and solar are erratic sources of energy. The output depends on the weather. Solar doesn't work at night. Because they are erratic, they have to have backup plants, generally natural gas plants, that balance the erratic flow of electricity from wind and solar. The backup plants increase output when renewable energy output declines, and then vice versa. It's back and forth. It's like a game of tennis. Because both wind and solar are subjected to periods of nothing, the backup system has to be able to carry the entire load of the electric grid without the wind or solar. Setting yourself up to run this way, by the way, would be very advantageous to a terrorist group wanting to take down your grid. Because you only have to take down one of them, and it'd probably be your backup plant. Now, neither wind nor solar can replace a conventional power plant. If you hear that a utility is replacing fossil fuel plants with wind or solar, well, just know that that is not actually going to happen. The most that can happen is that the fossil fuel plants will use less fuel when the wind or solar is generating electricity. For a natural gas plant, what it takes to generate a megawatt of electricity costs about $20. $20 is the economic value of each megawatt hour generated by wind or solar. Unsubsidized wind or solar and electricity, either one, costs about $80 a megawatt hour. The difference between $80 and $20 is the subsidy that has to be paid in order to use wind or solar. So that means the government is subsidizing that, and you're getting the bill. So the government is going deeper into debt. And as long as the percentage of energy that comes from wind is small, or solar, the grid can handle the erratic nature of electricity. But if the penetration becomes large, well, then that's when the really big problems begin to come out. Solar power is strongest in the middle of the day, and it weakens towards the end of the day. But late afternoon and early evening, when solar is dying, this is when power usage peaks because everybody's home. Las Vegas, which has a very close proximity to Hoover Dam, they have wind farms, and they have some other stuff going on there. And if you look at their power graph and everything, Las Vegas, when they need that renewable energy the most, there is none. Now, the problem with depending too much on wind or solar and trying to get 50 to 60% of your electricity is that there will be periods when there's too much electricity, and then the grid operator will order that the wind or solar power will be curtailed. If you cut the output of the wind or the solar, well, then that power is lost forever. They can't store it. And further curtailing the renewable energy works against meeting the mandate of 50 to 60% renewable energy. So technically, it becomes very difficult to utilize erratic renewable energy as the penetration increases. By mandating it, like Nevada, they've got something called the Gemini Project. It's a 700-megawatt solar plant with an associated battery system that can store 1,400 megawatt hours of electricity, allowing electricity to be moved from midday, where there'll be too much, to the late afternoon, when there won't be enough or there won't be any. The problem is that the batteries cost a whole lot. They cost a lot to move electricity. A megawatt of solar electricity costs unsubsidized $80 during the day, costs $270 when you move it to a battery. This is cap and trade, by the way. This is how they want to take your money away from you. That's what all leads up to it. Last Wednesday in Florida, because it would only happen in Florida. Florida has instituted the red flag law, and they have had quite the thing going on. But the latest thing that's happened has happened to a guy named Jonathan Carpenter of Osceola County. He was sitting out on his front porch, and he got a certified letter from the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. He signed for it because, you know, Jonathan was just sitting there sort of minding his own business. He had nothing to fear because, of course, he had done nothing wrong, right? Well, they notified him that they had suspended his concealed handgun permit. And they wrote, on or about August 12, 2019 in Osceola County, Florida, an injunction was entered restraining you from acts of domestic violence or acts of repeat violations. Now, Mr. Carpenter had no run-ins whatsoever, ever, with the law. So he thought it was a mistake, and he called the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services to clear things up because he's never committed domestic violence against anybody. The representative told him he had to get the form from the clerk of courts saying that there weren't any actions against him. So he went to that office to retrieve the required form, and when he got there, the clerk informed him that there was an injunction against a Jonathan Edward Carpenter. Well, he asked, well, what do I have to do to prove that you have the wrong Jonathan Edward Carpenter? So the clerk told Mr. Carpenter he had to go downstairs to talk to the Osceola County Sheriff's Office to clear things up. So still figuring this is just a mistake, he went down there to quickly clear things up. And they had a copy of the injunction down there. And in the statement, the plaintiff stated that she rented a room out to a Jonathan Edward Carpenter and his girlfriend. She alleged that this Carpenter was a drug dealer who broke her furniture and sold her belongings without her permission. He had a gun, and she feared for her life. She was not sure if the firearm was legal or not. This, the real Mr. Carpenter, the one that got the notice, had never met the woman, never lived at the address. And other than being white, he looked nothing like the man who terrorized the woman. Man in question's 5'8". He's actually 5'11". The drug dealer's 110 pounds. The other Mr. Carpenter's over 200. The bad guy has black hair. Carpenter is completely bald. The man in question is covered in tats, and Carpenter only had a few of them. And it's apparent the police had the wrong man, but Carpenter was in for the biggest shock yet. The police told him that Carpenter had to surrender his guns. So even without the hearing, without the red flag order, now he's losing his rights. And he said, the last thing on my mind was me having to turn over my gun. I was so upset when the sheriff told me that I needed to surrender my gun before any due process. He had to go to court so the woman could verify to the judge they had the wrong Jonathan Carpenter. He would have to petition the court for the return of his firearms. That all costs, by the way. You got to pay for that. Just doesn't happen. They think that they were running a check for a Jonathan Edward Carpenter with a concealed carry permit. But they don't know, but he thinks that's what happened in this particular case. He did not say that this was a common practice. When asked about the likelihood of a drug dealer obeying Florida gun law and getting a concealed handgun permit, they agree this is probably not likely, but this is what happens when you start to get out there and say, well, this infringement is okay. Well, it's never okay. This is an example of how the system is broken. Coming up on the fourth hour, you're listening to 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.